War. Mark DePauli asked Linda Morawska, a professor in the University of Technology's Faculty of Science in the School of Earth and Atmospheric Sciences, to explain what indoor airborne transmission entails.
There are two or three steps of this. First of all, if someone is infected, they emit these particles containing virus from their mouth or nose when they breathe, when they speak, cough, and so on. So these particles with the virus are liquid, small, and they can remain in the air for quite a long time. Now, if there's somebody else in the same shared space, those people inhale in turn those particles, and this way they become infected. So this is indoor airborne transmission of the virus. Now, why it has been ignored by the governments, all the governments in the world? This is a very good question, going back to old dogmas, ignorance of science, trying to avoid anything which is a bit more difficult. So it's a mix of all of this. But now we all need to press that the governments take note of this.
One thing that is being looked at by the government is the recent protest against lockdown in Sydney. There have been very little known outdoor transmission community of COVID-19, but could the thousands of people who are likely to be wholly unvaccinated, perhaps even carrying the Delta strain, see a huge spike of cases in New South Wales?
Very possibly. The reason why so far there's been so little transmission in outdoor environments is that outdoors ventilation is much better than indoors. So it's usually quick dilution of the particles emitted by infected people and therefore less probability of being infected. However, if infected people exhale more of these particles, and this is the case with the Delta variant, then, and particularly being then close to these people, a very short time of exposure, just one or two gasps of air may be enough to intake enough virus to be infected. So yes, it is possible that with the Delta strain, we'll see more infections outdoors as well, particularly in crowded environments where people don't stay sufficiently far apart.
In relation to that, it is more difficult to track outdoor transmission than indoor. Is the issue of not being able to check into, say, your local park, clouding these sorts of statistics?
There have been studies over the past few months tracking outdoor transmission, particularly during big events. I've seen such studies based on the data from the US. So, yes, it's possible. It's more difficult, but it's possible. Not that much for individuals, but for a group as such.
My last question to you is, how can we then achieve a clean indoor air circulation, removal of that dirty air in Australia?
The first point is that we realize that we need and should have clean indoor air. Right now, people in general don't have an idea what clean indoor air is and that we should do something about. So the first point is awareness, and then it's basically pressure to ensure that we have clean indoor air in Australia. Now, this would mean that in the future, our buildings will be designed in such a way to protect us infection transmission, as well as from other risks, because indoor air, we also inhale what's emitted outside, like bushfire smoke, which is a completely different risk. So our buildings, modern buildings in the future, we'll have to take into account all these risks and minimize our exposure to all these pollutants. And we'll then also need to retrofit or take steps in relation to the existing buildings to lower the transmission. So it's not something which is going to happen overnight. We can reduce the risk now ad hoc during the pandemic, but it's something which will take years. But at the end, we will, I believe, strongly believe, have clean indoor air in Australia.
Professor Lydia Morawska of the Queensland University of Technology's Faculty of Science in the School of Earth and Atmospheric Sciences, speaking there with Mark DePauli.